A green sign hurtles through space toward a blue planet. Turner. Now, a black and white logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Now, a black and white film. Over a drawing of Independence Hall, titles appear. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents Cary Grant as C.K. Dexter Haven, Katharine Hepburn as Tracy Lord, and James Stewart as Macaulay Connor in The Philadelphia Story. Copyright 1940, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, produced by Lowe's Incorporated. This film is described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH Boston. Described by Robin Sitton. Read by Rena Baskin. Funded by the U.S. Department of Education. For more information about DVS, call toll-free 1-800-333-1203 or write to our email address, dvs@wgbh.org. The background drawings changed to the Liberty Bell, a statue of William Penn, and the Philadelphia Art Museum as titles continue. With Ruth Hussey, John Howard, Roland Young, John Halliday, Mary Nash, and Virginia Wadler. Screenplay by Donald Ogden Stewart. Based on the play by Philip Barry. Produced by the Theater Guild Incorporated. Musical score, Franz Waxman. Produced by Joseph L. Mankiewicz. Directed by George Cukor. Now, at a brick mansion with a trim front lawn, a man carries two suitcases out the front door. A knee-high pile of other luggage stands by his car. A tall, slender woman in a nightgown follows him with a set of golf clubs. The man sets his cleft chin and glares at her as she snaps a golf club over her knee. He storms after her as she strides away. Doorway, he raises a fist, then puts his hand on her face instead and shoves her to the floor. Now, words appear. 2 years later. In a newspaper, the woman's haughty face dominates an inset photo of a different man. The item reads, Philadelphia Society looks forward to the wedding Saturday of Mrs. Tracy Lord Haven, former wife of C.K. Dexter Haven, and Mr. George Kittredge. Back at the Brick Mansion. A dark-haired girl in slacks spins a yo-yo as she wanders through the house.
Tracy!
She glances up some stairs, then continues past them to a parlor.
Tracy! Tracy!
How do you spell omelette?
Oh, you.
94 for the ceremony and 506 for the reception. I don't know where we put them all if it should rain.
Oh, it won't rain. Tracy won't stand for it.
Mother, how do you spell omelette? O-M-M-E-L-E-T. I thought there was another L.
That's a funny wedding present, an omelette.
It was a dish, dear, a silver dish. Bring some of that junk off the table.
Mother, be an angel and get these things out of the way.
Yes, darling.
Tracy's little sister, Dinah, finds a gaudy rhinestone necklace among the gifts.
This stinks.
Don't say stinks, darling. If absolutely necessary, it smells, but only if absolutely necessary. These cards have been changed again.
There must be a ghost loose in the house.
Maybe the ghost of bridegroom number one.
Oh, don't talk about Dexter as though he were dead.
He might just as well be, for all Tracy cares.
Right. Oh, I wouldn't say that, dear. Mother, if I never see Mr. C.K. Dexter Haven again, I'll be... Isn't that awful?
They're friends of your father's.
Wouldn't you know it? What are they? Tap dancers or just musical comedy producers?
Well, that's hardly fair to your father's interest in the arts.
Art, my eye. The art of putting up $100,000 to display the shapely legs of...
That will do, Tracy.
Oh, I give up.
She draws their mother away from Dinah.
If you just face the facts squarely, as I did...
We both might face the fact that neither of us have proved to be a very great success as a wife.
We just picked the wrong first husbands, that's all.
Well, don't let's argue about it. You wanted me to take a stand, and I've taken it.
It's the only stand a woman could take and keep her self-respect.
Yes, dear, I know. Now I have my self-respect and no husband.
You almost talk as though you wanted him back.
He wouldn't come back, probably.
Hey, it's better this way, really. You'll see.
Let's forget about the past. We both deserve some happiness now. Especially you.
Darling.
Isn't George an angel?
George is an angel.
Is he handsome or is he not?
George is handsome.
I like Dexter.
Really? Why don't you postpone the wedding?
How?
Get smallpox.
Now, don't put the idea in her head.
George isn't usually late.
He's waiting for us at the stable.
Waiting for... Mother, if I don't choke her before Saturday...
It'd postpone the wedding, wouldn't it?
It would not. Be in the car when I get down.
She's so mean about Dexter.
He was rather mean to her, my dear.
Did he really sock her?
Please, Dinah.
Did he really?
Darling, you go out and wait in the car.
Well, the papers were full of innuendo.
Of what?
Of innuendo. Cruelty and drunkenness, it said. Mother, why won't Tracy ask her own father to the wedding?
Your sister has very definite opinions about certain things.
She's sort of, well, you know, hard, isn't she?
Certainly not. Tracy sets exceptionally high standards for herself, that's all. And other people aren't always quite apt to live up to them.
But don't you think it's stinking not at least to want father?
Yes, darling. Between ourselves, I think it's good and stinky.
Oh, I wish something would happen. Nothing ever possibly in the least ever happens here.
She slaps her forehead.
Mother, how do you get smallpox?
Oh, Dinah, please go. Go.
Later, a driver brings the Lord sisters to the stables. Tracy wears riding pants and boots. As she steps out of the car, she eyes someone disdainfully. Reaching into the back seat, she selects a perfume bottle from a door panel.
This is Uncle Willie's favorite, Complete Surrender.
She pours the perfume onto a handkerchief and teasingly waves it under Dinah's nose. Carefully, she sneaks up behind Uncle Willie as he sits reading Spy magazine. As Tracy draws closer, she wafts the scent through the air. Uncle Willie lowers the magazine, revealing a serene smile on his aging face. He opens his eyes and sees her.
Where'd you get this idiotic thing, anyway?
He pinches her.
Hey!
Never play with fire, child, particularly on the eve of your wedding.
You're really a wicked old man, aren't you, Uncle Willie?
Who takes this, anyway, your cook?
I love it. It's got pictures of everything.
It certainly has. Who is that terribly attractive man? Can Tracy pick him, or can she?
If you're asking me,
I'm not.
Hello, darling.
Hello.
Well, how do you like me?
I adore you, but you look awful.
Awful?
You look like something right out of a shop window.
Oh, Tracy, I...
Oh.
What?
She tackles him and rubs him in the dirt.
Say, listen, cut it out. They're new.
That's just it. They're new, but they're not going to be. There, that's better.
I don't get it. When I was a coal miner, the idea was to get enough money to buy clean clothes. Now that I'm general manager... Say, Dinah, is there anything in there about the wedding?
What do you mean?
Well, I thought maybe you... You being one of the oldest families in Philadelphia and me getting fairly important myself, it's luck, of course, that I... What's the matter?
An average day in the life of a congressman. The congressman's wife, the kitchen where is prepared one banana, a slice, two fried eggs. The congressman kisses his wife good morning.
Lots of people like publicity.
Of all the filthy ideas, coming into a private house with a camera. George Kittredge, you get on that horse.
She throws down the magazine.
What would happen if I took it into my head someday to go into politics?
You'd be elected president.
I don't know about that. I mean about publicity.
Not in my home.
You mean our home, don't you?
Sorry, darling. I mean very much our home.
Tracy has high, angular cheekbones and a graceful neck. As she mounts her horse, a groom approaches George.
Oh, never mind, Eddie. I'll get up myself. Steady, Bessie.
He pulls on his saddle, but fails to mount. The horse teeters sideways, rolling its dark eyes. George keeps trying, moving awkwardly in his crisp riding habit and derby.
Steady, Bessie.
Grab the reins, George, with a left hand.
Dinah rides up beside him.
Put salt on his tail.
Shut up.
Steady, Bessie.
George's mount jerks around uncontrollably.
What's the matter, Bessie? You act worried.
Maybe it's because his name is Jack.
Uncle Willie stares skeptically at George.
Hi-ho, Silver.
As the group trots out of the paddock together, Tracy leads her horse over the discarded magazine. Now, a man and a woman enter the editorial offices of Dime and Spy Incorporated.
Heard that really, Bessie. break. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Mike.
I'm not going to do it, Liz. I'm going to tell Sidney Kidd very plainly and simply I'm a writer. I'm not a society snooper. I'm going to tell him just that.
Dexter falls into step behind him.
Let Kidd fire me. Start writing short stories again. That's what I should be doing anyway. I'm going to tell him just that.
Just that.
Dexter strides unnoticed behind them. Mike and Liz approach Mr. Kidd's door.
Come in.
Lanky Mike wears his fedora into Kidd's office. Liz, in a stylish suit and rakish hat, holds a lit cigarette.
I don't think you're being fair to me, Mr. Kidd.
No?
No. You're treating me like you treat all your other writers.
You really hate me, don't you, Connor?
No. I don't like you very much, though.
You hate me, I trust, Miss Imbrie.
No, I can't afford to hate anybody. I'm only a photographer.
Kidd answers the phone.
Ask him to wait.
Now.
Your assignment will be Spy's most sensational achievement.
Tracy Lord. Big game hunting in Africa, fox hunting in Pennsylvania. Married on impulse and divorced in a rage. And always unapproachable by the press. The unapproachable Miss Lord. The Philadelphia story. Closed to the portals of snobbish fox hunting. No. No hunter of foxes is Spy magazine. Anyway, presented for the first time. Quote, a wedding day inside mainline society.
Or what the kitchen maid saw through the keyhole. Unquote.
Go ahead, Connor. Writing's your job. I'm only the publisher.
All right, publisher. Take this. Quote, no hunter of buckshot in the rear is cagey, crafty Connor. Unquote. Close paragraph.
Close job, close bank account. But look, Mr. Kidd, how can we possibly get inside the Lord Estate, let alone the house?
Now, we're not going to do it, Liz. Doggone it, it's degrading, it's undignified.
Oh, so is an empty stomach. How do we get in?
Kidd picks up his telephone.
Ask the gentleman to come in.
Broad-shouldered Dexter enters in a pinstripe suit. He has thick, jet-black hair and a square jaw with a cleft chin. He stares pointedly at Kidd.
I understand we understand each other.
Quite.
This gentleman has been employed in our Buenos Aires office. Fortunately, he came up yesterday on the Clipper, and I believe he can help us with our problem.
How?
Tracy Lord's brother, Junius, is in the American Embassy down there, and is an old friend of this gentleman's. He'll introduce you to the Lords as intimate friends of Junius.
Dear old Junius. Well, this Tracy Lord, she know you?
You might say Miss Lord and I grew up together.
You might also say you were her first husband.
Yes, you might.
Holy mackerel, what goes on here?
I remember your honeymoon very well. You and she on a little sailboat. The true love, wasn't it?
That's right. How did you know?
I was the only photographer whose camera you didn't smash. You were terribly nice about it. You threw it in the ocean.
Oh, one of those, huh?
Yes, I had a strange idea our honeymoon was our own business.
Incidentally, he paid for all the cameras. I got a nice little letter of apology, too.
Always the gentleman, huh?
Except on occasion.
Now, what are the plans? The wedding's Saturday, today's Thursday. They should spend tomorrow night as guests of the Lords.
Now, listen, there's something screwy here. Now, if you've resigned, why are you doing all this unless you... Oh, you want to get even with your ex-bride, huh?
I'll have a car pick them up at noon tomorrow in North Philadelphia.
Liz takes Mike's handkerchief from his jacket pocket and hands it to him.
Here, Mike, there's a little spit in your eye. It shows.
Mike starts to wipe it, then glares at Liz's deadpan expression. Later, Dexter drives Mike and Liz to the Lord's mansion in a sporty convertible. They pull up beneath a columned carport, and Mike bounds out. Dexter helps Liz from the front seat.
Maybe they'd rather we go around to the servants' entrance, huh?
Maybe this is the servants' entrance.
As Dexter rings the bell, Liz aims a camera at the manicured grounds. A butler gapes at Dexter.
Good morning, Edward.
Why, Mr. Haven, sir.
Is Mrs. Haven, I mean Miss Tracy, or her mother in?
Well, they may be down at the swimming pool, sir. Shall I announce you?
No, I'll go around myself and surprise them.
It'll indeed be a surprise, sir.
Oh, Edward, these are friends of Mr. Junius's. You might have them wait in the south parlor.
Certainly, Mr. Haven.
He leads them through an entrance hall decorated with heavy antique furniture and a porcelain vase as tall as 6-foot Mike Connor.
Excuse me, sir.
Edward opens two doors leading off the main hall. Mike peeks in warily.
The south parlor? Miss Embry, the south parlor.
He leans to Edward.
The queen will have bread and honey at the usual time.
Liz lowers her camera and cocks her head at the surprised butler. Mike sits at a piano.
Seems a little cold for the south parlor. I'd rather expected to find pickaninnies and banjos. What's this room? I forgot my compass.
A door leads into another parlor.
Well, this would be south-southwest parlor by living room.
Knick-knacks, gimcracks, signed photographs. Wouldn't you know you'd have to be as rich as the lords to live in a dump like this?
I wouldn't live in if it paid me.
They won't.
Mike wanders through another door into a gallery where Tracy's wedding presents are on display on long tables down the length of the narrow hall.
Looks like I run the hawk shop on the side.
He helps himself to a spoon from a silver service, then absently taps it against his fingertips as he looks over the array of pitchers, serving dishes, and jewelry boxes. Lifting one of the black velvet cases from the table, he looks at the contents, then slowly turns his head. Edward watches him.
I'm just looking around.
The butler remains at attention until Mike realizes he still has the spoon. He returns it to the silver service, which bangs shut. Glaring defensively at Edward, Mike holds open his suit jacket for inspection, then returns to the parlor. Liz snaps more pictures.
I'll want your fingerprints for this.
Mike consults a stack of index cards.
Now, what's this guy Haven up to?
C.K. Dexter Haven.
Yeah, what kind of a name is that anyway? C.K. Dexter Haven.
Well, Macaulay Connor's no homespun tag, my pet.
Yeah, well, you just try calling me Macaulay.
I knew a plain Joe Smith once. He was only a clerk in a hardware store, but he was an absolute rat.
C.K. Dexter Haven. He plays polo. He designs sailboats, class boats, very upper class.
Oh, don't despair. He's out, and Kittredge, man of the people, is in.
Yeah, quite a comer, too, I understand. A political temper.
He finds an intercom phone.
Uh-oh. Liz, what did I tell you? Look, how do you like this? Living room, sitting room, terrace, pools, stables.
That's probably so they can talk to the horses without having them in the house.
Mike presses a random button. In a sunroom, Tracy and her mother unwrap gifts.
Yes?
This is the bridal suite. Would you send up a couple of caviar sandwiches and a bottle of beer?
What? Who is this?
This is the voice of doom calling. Your days are numbered to the seventh son of the seventh son.
He hangs up.
Hello, hello. What's the matter?
One of the servants has been at the sherry again. I better go see.
The two women freeze.
Ah, Dinah, my dream girl.
What in the name of...
Tracy stands.
Oh, no, it can't be. He went to South America for 2 years.
Edward said they were at the swimming pool. Ah, they seem to be here.
Dexter walks in with a grinning Dinah.
Dexter, don't you know that tomorrow is the wedding?
Oh, that's right, so it is.
You can go right back where you came from.
Can't, Red. Dinah says, too awful here without me.
He kisses her mother's cheeks.
Red, you're looking the pink.
Tracy backs away.
Now, look, you don't think I miss your wedding, do you?
Dexter, you wouldn't.
I'm not so sure he wouldn't.
No, Mother Lord, I wouldn't. I assure you I wouldn't.
When did you arrive? Tell us all about Junior. Stay to lunch.
Sure, don't bother to open your house. Stay here. We're having no house guests over the wedding.
No?
No.
How about the groom?
He's staying at the gatehouse.
Oh, that's good. Well, Junius is fine.
Oh, he should be here.
Oh, he's heartbroken, dear. I suggested representing him as best man.
I'm afraid that George might prefer to have his best man sober.
I wish you'd represent George.
That's my loyal little girl. Well, you'll like the people Junius did send, I'm sure.
You haven't switched from liquor to dope by any chance, have you, Dexter?
Oh, you see.
The people Junius did send, did you say?
Yes, you don't have to know Macaulay Connor or Elizabeth Embry, do you?
We can finish these later, Mother.
I better come along with you, introduce you.
Call me for... Introduce me to whom?
to Miss Embry and Mr. Connor. Then you can tell her which rooms they're to have. Oh, and Mr. Connor wants to know whether to wear a black tie or a white tie to the party this evening.
Rooms?
Well, I better start from the beginning. Sit down, dear. You see, they're great friends of Junior's.
And they expect to stay here over the wedding? I think that's very queer indeed.
I think it's queerer than that. I think it's paranoid.
Well, dear, see, it was Junior's idea. They'd be very kind to him, and as we're in Philadelphia...
You're lying, Dexter. I can always tell.
Can you, Red?
But, dear, if they're Junius's friends...
You went to work after the divorce, didn't you?
Oh, yes, except for a brief interlude and a couple of alcoholic sanitarians.
But you took a job in South America. Who for?
A magazine.
And it wasn't by any chance Spy magazine.
You are a mess of intuition.
And I don't suppose the Junius's friends are photographers by any chance. I thought you were low, but I never thought you'd think to do...
What are you going to do?
After I've telephoned Junius, I'm going to do plenty.
Wait, Red, wait. You don't have to telephone Junius. I'll confess.
Drawing herself up straight, Tracy looks down her long nose at Dexter.
No, you're slipping, Red. I used to be afraid of that look. The withering glance of the goddess.
I didn't think that alcohol would... Oh, shut up.
They leave the room.
Dinah, stay here.
Oh, please, Mother. Maybe he's going to sock her again.
Don't say sock, darling. Strike is quite an ugly enough word.
Who the heck do they think they are, barging in on peaceful people?
Now, shush. They think you don't want them.
I want them out, and you too.
Yes, Your Majesty. But first, could I interest you in some small blackmail?
No.
Well, it's an article, complete with snapshots, details, and insinuations. And it's ready for publication in Spy. And it's about your father and that dancer in New York.
About father and Tina Mara?
Now, quiet, Dinah.
But they can't.
She scans a column of galley proofs.
Where do you get these?
From Sidney Kidd, the editor and publisher.
He's got to be stopped.
Well, he is. Temporarily. That is, if you'll allow those two to turn in a story on your wedding. And when Kidd says a story, he means a story.
I'm going to be sick.
Yes, dear. An intimate day with a society bride.
I am sick.
Well, it's tough, but that's the way it seems to be.
So I'm to be examined, undressed, and generally humiliated at 15 cents a copy. And you're loving it.
Am I, Red?
Beckoning him with a toss of her head, she strides back into the sunroom.
Well, Mother, we're hooked.
Are they really reporters?
Not even friends of Junius's?
They aren't anybody's friends, but we're to pretend they are.
But why?
Don't ask me. There's a good reason, and it's my wedding, so please.
I'll bet it's on account of Father and that dancer in New York.
Dinah, what do you know?
Oh, I listen around.
Oh, dear, is there no such thing as privacy anymore?
Only in bed, Mother, and... Not always there. Watching every little mannerism, jotting down notes on how we sit and stand and talk and eat and move.
Will they do that?
And all in that horrible, snide, corkscrew English. Well, if we have to submit to it to save Father's face...
No.
Which, incidentally, doesn't deserve it. I'm for giving them a picture of home life that'll stand their hair on end.
No!
Tracy, we must just be ourselves. Very much ourselves.
But you want us to create a good impression, don't you?
They don't know that we know what they're really here for, I hope.
Oh, no, dear, that was understood. The girl's quite nice. He writes short stories, very down to earth.
They'll love us.
Oh, dear, you're both better dressed.
And please, both of you, promise to behave like ladies in front of these creatures.
We'll do our best, Mrs. Lord. I don't know how good that is.
Margaret Lord closes the door behind them and lowers her eyes.
Dexter, how perfectly dreadful. And what'll they say about Seth not being here for his own daughter's wedding?
Dexter steals behind her and gently embraces her, brushing her forehead with his lips. The petite Margaret smiles.
You better go and tell them how terribly, terribly happy we are to have them.
That's the old Quaker spirit, Mother Lord. Now keep swinging.
Now, in the parlor, Mike studies a funeral urn. His hat brim slants across his forehead.
Oh, thought it was that butler. The family will be down to welcome you in a moment.
What with?
With open arms. Terribly, terribly happy to have any friends of Junius's here.
Well, they don't know about us, do they?
Oh, why should they? Look, Haven, our research department didn't give us much data. This fiancé of this girl, George Kittredge, age 32, you know him very well?
Well enough.
General manager, Quaker State Coal, controlling interest in the company owned by Seth Lord. That's the girl's father, huh?
Mm-hmm. What a coincidence.
How'd he meet her?
Heaven brought them together, I imagine.
Mike sends him a dry glance.
Seth Lord, C. Banker's Annual, Directory of Directors. Was there a library in town?
Yes.
I suppose you wouldn't know where that is.
Well, roughly. My grandfather built it.
Mike makes a humble bow, and Dexter returns it.
Now, about this girl, Tracy Samantha Lord.
What about her?
Oh, what's her leading characteristic?
She has a horror of men who wear their hats in the house.
Dexter walks out.
Leading characteristics to be filled in later.
I can fill them in right now. The young, rich, rapacious American female. No other country where she exists.
And would I change places with Tracy Samantha Lord for all her wealth and beauty? Oh, boy, just ask me.
Well, tell four footmen to call me in time for lunch, will you?
Dinah appears in toe shoes, a cotton dress, and the gaudy rhinestone necklace.
Ah, how do you do?
She walks on point.
Friends of my brother Junius, are you not?
I am
Dinah Lord. My real name is Diana, but my sister changed it.
I'm Elizabeth Imbrie. This is Macaulay Connor.
Enchanté de vous voir. Enchanté de faire votre connaissance. I spoke French before I spoke English. My early childhood was spent in Paris where my father worked in a bank. The house of Morgan.
Really?
C'est vrai, absolument. Can you play the piano? I can, and sing at the same time. Listen.
Flinging up her arms flamboyantly, she dances on her toes to the doorway, throws back her head, then runs to the piano bench.
Lydia, oh Lydia, say have you met Lydia? Oh Lydia, the dance lady. She has eyes that folks adore, so and the torso. Even more so, Lydia.
What is this?
Lydia, that encyclopedia.
Idiot,
Lydia, the queen of tattoos.
Tracy arrives from the hallway and peeks through another door. She wears a ruffled gingham gown with a sheer top, accentuating her narrow waist. She bursts in as Dinah finishes.
And blue, you can learn a lot from Lydia.
Ah, Denise, tu es un véritable petit Chopin.
Qu'est-ce que tu?
Mais certes. Mais qu'est-ce qu'il y a? Voyons, tu es toute pâle.
Dinah sticks out her tongue.
Oh, j'espère bien que ce n'est pas le smallpox.
Le smallpox?
Mais oui, va dire à maman de se dépêcher.
Dinah departs with a flourish. Liz and Mike roll their eyes as they look Tracy over.
Oh, how do you do?
She holds out both hands.
I'm Tracy Lord. It's so nice having you here. How did you leave Junius?
Oh, we left Junius fine. Say, that little sister of
yours.
Isn't
she, dear? So talented. Junius is such a lamb, isn't he?
Yes, isn't he?
It's a pity none of the male members of the family are going to be here to welcome you.
Well, where's your father?
Darling, Papa, I do hope you'll stay for my wedding.
We'd like to very much.
Yeah, that was our idea.
I'm so glad that it occurred to you. The house is in rather a mess, of course. We'll all have to huddle here and overflow onto the porch.
She offers a lighter as Mike strikes a match.
I hope your rooms are comfortable.
Your father's sick?
What a cunning little camera.
I'm afraid I'm an awful nuisance with
but
it.
But you couldn't be. I hope you'll take loads. Dear Papa and Mama aren't allowing any reporters in. That is, except for little Mr. Grace, who does the social news. Can you imagine a grown-up man having to sink so low?
Oh, it does seem kind of bad.
Mm-hmm. You're a kind of, the writer, aren't you, Mr. Connor?
Sort of.
A book?
Yeah.
Under what name do you publish?
My own, Macaulay Connor.
What's the Macaulay for?
Well, my father taught English history. I'm Mike to my friends.
Of whom you have many, I'm sure. English history, it's always fascinated me. Cromwell, Robin Hood, Jack the Ripper. Where did he teach? I mean your father.
Oh, well, a little high school in South Bend, Indiana.
South Bend. It sounds like dancing, doesn't it? You must have had a most happy childhood there.
Yeah, it was terrific.
I'm so glad.
No, I didn't mean it that way.
I'm so sorry. Why?
Well, lack of wherewithal, I guess.
But that doesn't always cause unhappiness, does it? Not if you're the right kind of man. George Kittredge, my fiancé, never had anything either, and he... Are either of you married?
No.
No.
You mean you were, but now you're divorced.
Well, the fact is...
Well, come now, Miss Imbrie, surely you're not ashamed of it.
Well, of course I'm not ashamed of it.
What?
Well, it was years ago. I was only a kid and aloof.
Well, good heavens, Liz, you never told me anything.
You never asked me.
Well, I know, but you...
Joe Smith, hardware.
Well, you're the darndest girl, Liz.
I think I'm sweet.
Duluth, that must be a lovely spot. It's west of here, isn't it?
Sort of, but occasionally we get the breezes.
And this is your first visit in Philadelphia. It's a quaint old place, don't you think? Filled with relics. And how old are you, Mr. Connor?
30.
One book isn't much for a man of 30. Well, I don't mean to criticize. You probably have other interests outside your work.
None.
Liz shoots him a glance.
Unless...
How sweet. Are you going together?
Well, that is an odd question,
after
I must say.
Well, I don't see why. I think it's very interesting. Miss Imbrie, don't you agree that if a man says he loves a girl, he ought to marry her?
Can she be human?
Please, Mr. Connor, I asked Miss Imbrie a question.
Oh.
That depends.
I'll see what's keeping Mama.
Tracy holds her toothy grin as she sweeps out of the parlor to the entrance hall. Mike stares after her, slack-jawed, then turns to Liz.
Look, who's doing the interviewing here?
You don't suppose she caught on somehow?
No, no, she was born that way. Now, don't let her throw you.
Do you want to take over?
I want to go home.
Ah, here you are. How do you do? We're so happy to have you. Forgive me for not coming in sooner. But things are in such a state. My little girl.
Tracy returns.
She's going to leave me. Aren't you pretty, my dear? I think Junius's friends always are. Look at the way she wears her hair, Tracy. Isn't it pretty?
Mighty fine.
Margaret looks Mike over.
Shall we have Sherry on the porch?
As Mike steps through the parlor door, he runs into an arm and a yo-yo.
And this is my youngest daughter, Diana.
Yeah, I think we've met.
I do wish my husband could be here to greet you, but we expect him presently. He's been detained in New York on business for that lovely dancer, Tina Mara. Do you know her work?
Well, not professionally.
So talented.
A lighter from the gift table won't light Mike's cigarette.
No,
he drops it in his pocket.
None whatever.
I have some lovely presents, don't you think so, Mr. Connor?
He smacks his pockets and finds the lighter. Edward holds out his hand, and Mike sheepishly gives the lighter back. Tracy hurries outside to greet George.
Hello, everybody.
He jogs eagerly across the lawn.
I hope I'm not late.
You're never late, George. We have such a lovely surprise. Junius has sent us these two dear people as a wedding present. Mr. Kittredge, this is Miss... I'm so sorry.
Imbrie.
Well, any friend of Junius is a friend of mine.
And Mr. Murrow?
I didn't get the name.
Connor.
Macaulay Connor.
He's a writer.
Oh, you don't apologize, Mrs. Lowell.
Oh, no apology necessary. I have great respect for writers.
Well, thank you. Any kind word is...
How are you, dear?
Much better now that you're here.
Ah, I guess this must be love, huh?
Your guess is correct, Mr. Connor.
I'm just his faithful old dog, Trey.
Give me your paw.
You got it.
As George kisses her hand, Liz snaps a photo.
How sweet.
Say, I'd like to see one of those, Miss Imbrie.
You will.
Shall we have some sherry? I suppose Junius has told you all about our happy little family.
Papa!
Uncle Willie stops short, frowning.
Dear Papa! You've angeled to get here in time for lunch. Isn't he, Mama?
Indeed he is.
But, Father, these are our friends, Miss Imbrie and Mr. Connor.
How are you, Mr. Warren?
That's fine, thank you. How are you?
How do you do?
How do you do?
Hi, Pops.
Oh, dear, Dinah.
He gulps a drink.
Father, here's George.
Oh, there, Kittredge. Margaret, my sweet.
Another place for luncheon, Edward.
Very good, madam. Well, here I am, in the bosom of my...
Dexter.
Hello, friends and enemies.
Young man, remove yourself.
How are you, sir?
I don't know. Get along, get along.
Darling, I changed my mind. I will stay for lunch.
Another place, Edward.
Yes, hello, Kittredge. How are you, Haven?
Just Damon and Pythias.
No, Grant and Lee.
Dexter poses for a second shot, still gripping George's hand. Mustache George glares at Tracy.
You don't look as well as when I last saw you, Kittredge. Oh, you poor fellow, I know just how you feel. How's it coming?
Oh, beautifully, Dexter. We're so indebted to you for these lovely people. It's almost impossible to repay that debt.
But you'll manage, eh, Red?
Tracy steps boldly toward him.
They grew up together, you know.
How nice.
Oh, you don't look old enough to get married. Not even the first time, then you never did. She needs trouble to mature her, Kittredge. Give her lots of it.
I'm afraid she can't count on me for that.
No, that's too bad.
Sometimes for your own sake, Red. I think you should have stuck to me longer.
I thought it was for life, but the nice judge gave me a full pardon.
Ah, that's the old redhead. No bitterness, no recrimination. Just a good swift left to the jaw.
Tracy bares her teeth in a smile.
They grew up together.
Mike and Liz trade a glance.
Lunch is served, madam.
Oh, thank you, Edward. Come, Seth. We have so much to talk about.
I don't suppose a man ever had a better or finer family. You know, I often wake up in the night and say to myself, Seth, you lucky dog, what have you done to deserve it all?
And what have you?
Willie stares at Liz as he leaves. Tracy offers everyone a drink.
Oh, thank you.
Tracy upsets the table, popping open Liz's camera.
Oh! How stupid. Oh, dear, how awful.
Yeah, I had a feeling that would happen.
Your camera on... Well, I'm so, so sorry.
I'm sure you are.
Dinah appears in the doorway, gesturing frantically to Tracy, then pointing toward the front door.
What is it? Your father. Uncle Willie!
Tracy greets a stern-faced man.
Uncle Willie, how nice.
I beg your pardon.
Please go on into lunch, everyone. I want a word with Uncle Willie.
Another place, Edward.
Margaret gestures everyone through the hallway, then throws Tracy an anguished look.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
You never have, but you came anyway, didn't you?
Oh, still justice with her shining sword, eh, daughter? Who's on the spot?
We are, thanks to you, Uncle Willie.
She escorts her father, Seth. Later, Liz drives Mike to an ivy-covered building.
How long will you be researching?
Well, not long if I can find the right books. It's family history and stuff like that.
There's a cousin Joanna that's definitely crazy.
Who told you?
Dinah.
Well, Dinah should know.
Come across the street when you've finished. Miss Hobson's establishment.
Hobson, okay.
Mike trots up the public library steps as Liz pulls away. Inside, he removes his fedora and looks around at the high shelves of bound books. A wooden card catalog stands on the circulation desk near a sign which reads, Charge Books Here. Near a window, a woman in a plain long-sleeved dress organizes books on a reshelving cart. She notices Mike looking around.
What is the wish?
I'm looking for some local book. What'd you say?
What is the wish?
Local biography or history.
If thee will consult with my colleague in there.
She points across the library. Mm-hmm. Mike blinks sincerely.
Dost thou have a washroom?
She points again.
Thank thee.
As the librarian shelves a handful of books, Mike peeks back at her from behind the stacks. Around a corner, Tracy sits at a reading table, one hand propping up her head and the other delicately turning the pages of a book. Mike pauses, looking to see what she's reading, and leans over her shoulder.
Look, I know this is a public library, but I would...
Hello.
Hello.
He takes a seat at her table.
What, couldn't you afford to buy my book?
The bookstore didn't have one.
Well, are you sure you're doing the right thing? You know what happens to girls like you when they read books like mine. They begin to think. That's bad.
These stories are beautiful. Why, Connor, they're almost poetry.
Well, don't kid yourself. They are.
I can't make you out at all now.
Really? I thought I was easy.
So did I. But you're not. You talk so big and tough, and then you write like this. Which is which?
Both, I guess.
No, I believe you put the toughness on to save your skin.
Well, you think so?
I know a little about that.
Do you?
Quite a lot.
Shh.
Look, let's get out of here.
She carries his book outside with her into the bright sunshine where her driver waits at the curb.
This book, it was just such a complete surprise to me. Look, let's walk, shall we? It'd be much more fun.
Okay,
take this, would you? Tell Mr. Kittredge we'll meet him at the pool.
Yes, Miss Tracy.
The tip of her pointed cap falls over her shoulder.
The story called With the Rich and Mighty. I think I liked it best.
I got it from a Spanish peasant's proverb. With the rich and mighty, always a little patience.
I like that.
Across the street at a beauty parlor, Liz winces.
What's the matter? A little too rough?
A little. But I'm used to it.
Later, they cross a park.
Tell me something, will you? When you can do a thing like that book, how can you possibly do anything else?
Well, you may not believe this, but there are people in this world that must earn their living.
Of course, but people buy books, don't they?
Well, not as long as there's a library around. You know, that book of mine represents 2 solid years' work, and it netted Connor something under $600.
But that shouldn't be.
Well, happily it is. It is beautiful country around here. What is it all, anyway?
Part of our place. What about your Miss Embry?
Well, Miss Embry's in somewhat the same fix. She's a born painter and might be a very important one, but Miss Embry must eat, and she also prefers a roof over her head to being constantly out in the rain and snow.
Food and a roof.
Later, at the pool.
Hey, you've really got something here.
Roman-style statues adorn the pool deck.
Oh, come on. The dressing room's over here.
A patio overlooks the pool.
I think you'll find everything you need.
The butler prepares refreshments.
Use any old one, but I think you'll find most of the junk in there. Yell if you need anything.
Okay.
Inside the spacious dressing room, Mike finds a terry cloth robe and a stack of men's swimming trunks. He holds up a pair. They're huge. He wraps them around his waist. As he tosses them aside, Tracy opens the door of the next room.
Hey, Connor.
Yeah?
I have an idea.
What?
I have the most wonderful little house in Unionville. It's up on a hill with a view that would knock you silly. I'm never there except in the hunting season and not much then. And I'd be so happy to know that it was of some real use to someone. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
There's a brook and a small lake. No size, really. And a patch of woods. And in any kind of weather, it's the most wonderful. Well, anyhow, I'm so delighted that I can offer it to you.
Well, it's terribly nice of you, but,
Heck, that's Dexter. Look, if he comes here, stand by, will you? I don't want to be alone with him.
Certainly, if you like.
Isn't it lucky that I happened to think about that house? And don't think I'd come trooping in every minute, because I wouldn't. I'd never come except when expressly asked to.
Well, it isn't that.
What is it?
Well, you see, the idea of artists depending upon a patron, Lady Bountiful, has more or less gone out.
Oh. I see. That wasn't especially kind of you, Mr. Connor. I'm sorry to have seemed patronizing.
Oh, well, now,
please
look,
don't bother,
really. I didn't mean...
Dexter carries over something wrapped in paper, then takes a glass from Tracy's hand.
Hello.
Hello. Fancy seeing you here.
Orange juice? Certainly.
Don't tell me you've forsaken your beloved whiskey and whiskies.
No. I've just changed their color, that's all. I'm going for the pale pastel shades now. They're more becoming to me. How about you, Mr. Connor? You drink, don't you? Alcohol, I mean.
Oh, a little.
A little? And you a writer? I thought all writers drank to excess and beat their wives. You know, one time I think I secretly wanted to be a writer.
Tracy sneers.
Dexter, would you mind doing something for me?
Anything, what?
Get the heck out of here.
Oh, my dear Red, I couldn't do that. That wouldn't be fair to you. You need me too much.
Would you mind telling me just what it is you're hanging around for? Oh, no. Please don't go, Mr. Connor.
Oh, no. Please don't go, Mr. Connor. As a writer, this ought to be right up your street.
Don't miss a word.
I never saw you looking better, Red. You're getting that fine, tawny look.
Oh, we're going to talk about me, are we? Goody.
It's astonishing what money can do for people. Don't you agree, Mr. Connor? Not too much, you know, just more than enough.
Mike looks at his feet.
Now, take Tracy, for example. There's never a blow that hasn't been softened for her. Never a blow that won't be softened. As a matter of fact, it even changed her shape. She was a dumpy little thing at one time.
Only as it happens, I'm not interested in myself for the moment.
Not interested in yourself? You're fascinated, Red. You're far and away your favorite person in the world.
Dexter, in case you don't know...
Of course, Mr. Connor. She's a girl who's generous to a fault.
To a fault, Mr. Connor?
Except to other people's faults. For instance, she never had any understanding of my deep and gorgeous thirst.
That was your problem.
Granted. But you took on that problem with me when you took me, Red. You were no helpmate there. You were a scold.
It was disgusting. It made you so unattractive.
A weakness, sure.
And strength is her religion, Mr. Connor. She finds human imperfection unforgivable. When I gradually discovered that my relationship to her was supposed to be not that of a loving husband and a good companion, but... Oh, never mind.
Say it.
But that of a kind of high priest to a virgin goddess. Then my drinks grew deeper and more frequent, that's all.
Mike sneaks out.
I never considered you as that, nor myself.
You did without knowing it. Oh. And the night that you got drunk on champagne and climbed out on the roof and stood there naked with your arms out to the moon, wailing like a banshee.
I told you I never had the slightest recollection of doing any such thing.
I know. You drew a blank. You wanted to. Mr. Connor, what would you...
A nice story for Spy, incidentally.
Yeah, too bad we can't supply photographs of you on the roof.
Honestly, the fuss you made over that silly, childish...
It was enormously important and most revealing. The moon is also a goddess, chaste and virginal.
Stop using those foul words. Dexter, what are you trying to make me out as?
Tracy, what do you fancy yourself as?
I don't know that I fancy myself
when
as
I read
a...
you're going to marry Kittredge, I couldn't believe it. That's why I'm here. How in the world could he even think of it?
Because he's everything you're not. Mm-hmm. He's been poor, he's had to work, and he's had to fight for everything. And I love him as I never even began to love you.
Maybe so, but I doubt it. I think it's just a swing for me. But it's too violent a swing. Kittredge is no great tower of strength, you know, Tracy. He's just a tower.
You hardly know him.
Well, I hardly know him as to know him well. And perhaps it offends my vanity to have anyone who was even remotely my wife remarry so obviously beneath her.
But how dare you, any of you in this day and age, use such an idiotic...
I'm talking about the difference in mind and spirit. You could marry Mac, the night watchman. I'd cheer for you. Kittredge is not for you.
You bet he's for me. He's a great man and a good man. Already, he's of national importance.
Mm-hmm. You sound like Spy magazine talking. But whatever he is, Toots, you'll have to stick. They'll give you no out as I did.
I won't require one.
Tracy pins up her thick hair.
I suppose you'd still be attractive to any man of spirit, though. There's something engaging about it, this goddess business. Something more challenging to the male than the more obvious charms.
Really?
Really. We're very vain, you know. This citadel can and shall be taken, and I'm the boy to do it.
You seem quite contemptuous of me all of a sudden.
No, Red. Not of you. Never of you.
With her hands on her hips, she stares hard at him.
Red, you could be the finest woman on this earth. I'm contemptuous of something inside of you. You either can't help or make no attempt to. Your so-called strength, your prejudice against weakness, your blank intolerance...
Is that all?
That's the gist of it. Because you'll never be a first-class human being or a first-class woman until you've learned to have some regard for human frailty. It's a pity your own foot can't slip a little sometime. But your sense of inner divinity wouldn't allow that. This goddess must and shall remain intact. There are more of you than people realize. A special class of the American female, the married maidens.
So help me, Dexter. If you say another word,
I'm through, Red. For the moment, I've had my say.
Well, I suppose I should object to this, Tucson.
That would be most objectionable.
Dexter casually sips his juice.
Well, anytime either of you want my advice...
We'll give you a ring, Haven.
Thanks. Do that, will you?
He hands George his glass, then follows Tracy to the poolside.
So long, Red. I left you a little wedding present. Sorry I hadn't any ribbon to tie it up with.
Wearing a bathing suit and a white swim cap, Tracy jogs for the diving board. Looking down over her shoulder to glance at Dexter, she runs the length of the board and springs into the air. She floats up through her wake and wipes her eyes. On the patio by the dressing rooms, George uncovers Dexter's gift, a model sailboat wrapped in tissue paper.
Aren't you swimming?
We haven't time. Uncle Willie wants us at 8.
He carries over the wooden model.
Look what your friend considers a wedding present.
Tracy swims to the side.
Why, it's a model of the true love.
What?
A boat he designed and built, practically. He sailed her down the coast of Maine and back the summer we were married. My, she was yar.
Yar? What's that mean?
It means, what does it mean? Easy to handle, quick to the helm, fast, bright. Everything a boat should be, until she develops dry rot.
She floats the model, then swims in the other direction. George wraps her in a towel as she climbs out.
Oh, George, to get away. Somehow to be useful in the world.
Useful? You, Tracy? Oh, I'm going to build you an ivory tower with my own two hands.
Like fun you are.
You mean you've been in one too long?
Well, I mean that and a lot of things.
She pecks his cheek. George stands slightly taller than she, with trim, wavy hair combed back from his face. He follows her slowly, his hands in his pockets.
You know, we're going to represent something, Tracy. You and I and our home. Something straight and sound and fine. Then perhaps your friend, Mr. Haven, will be somewhat less condescending.
George.
She puts on a tunic-like robe.
You don't really mind him, do you? I mean, the fact of him.
The fact of him? What do you mean?
Well, I mean, well, you know, that he ever was my lord and master, that we ever were...
I don't believe he ever was, Tracy. Not really. I don't believe that anyone ever was or ever will be. That's the wonderful thing about you, Tracy.
What? How?
Well, you're like some marvelous, distant, well, queen, I guess. You're so cool and fine and always so much your own. There's a kind of beautiful purity about you, Tracy, like a statue.
George.
Oh, it's grand, Tracy. It's what everybody feels about you. It's what I first worshipped you for from afar.
George, listen.
First, now, and always. Only from a little nearer now. Hey, darling?
I don't want to be worshipped. I want to be loved.
Well, you're that too, Tracy. Oh, you're that all right.
I mean, really loved.
But that goes without saying, Tracy.
No. No, now it's you who doesn't see what I mean.
She wanders back up the patio.
Well, I better get dressed, dear. I hate to be late.
She smiles as he kisses her cheek.
George.
Yes?
Oh, nothing. Run along. I'll be dressed when you get back.
Left alone, Tracy walks down the patio's tiers to the poolside. Darkening twilight reflects her draped figure in the water, near the drifting model of the true love. Folding her hands in front of her, Tracy turns her head to watch the sailboat as she walks away. She approaches the mansion in darkness, still in her loose-fitting robe. An overfold of fabric hangs down her right shoulder. At the edge of the porch, she spots her parents walking arm in arm.
Tracy. Your Uncle Willie's guest of honor. You mustn't be late.
That fiancé of yours just roared out of here on two wheels. Does he by any chance ever walk anywhere?
When he likes, I expect.
I have a feeling he'll take that ring tomorrow and go right through center with it.
Fifth, you idiot.
Very amusing, I'm sure. Almost as amusing as the sight of you with your arm around Mother.
I find very unamusing the stupid, undignified spectacle we're making of ourselves for the benefit of those two newspaper people.
Whose fault is it?
Well, that's not the point. They can publish anything they like about me. But I insist that we inform Connor and the camera lady that we're all aware of their purpose here.
All right. I'll tell them myself.
It'd look better coming from me, don't you think, as at least the titular head of the family?
Of course, inasmuch as you let us in for it in the first place.
Oh, do keep that note out of your voice, Tracy. It's very unattractive.
Oh? How does your dancer friend talk, or does she purr? Tracy!
Oh, it's quite all right, Margaret.
Sweet and low, I suppose. Dulcet, very ladylike. You've got a heck of a nerve to come back here in your best head of the family manner and make stands and strike attitudes and criticize my fiancé and give orders and mess things up generally. Stop it instantly. I can't help it. It's sickening. As if he'd done nothing at all.
Which happens to be the truth.
Anyway, it's not your affair, Tracy, if it concerns anyone. Well, actually, I don't know whom it concerns except your father.
That's very wise of you, Margaret. What most wives fail to realize is that their husband's philandering has nothing whatever to do with them.
Oh? Then what has it to do with?
A reluctance to grow old, I think. I suppose the best mainstay a man can have as he gets along in years is a daughter. The right kind of daughter.
How sweet.
No. I'm talking seriously about something I've thought over thoroughly. I've had to. I think a devoted young girl gives a man the illusion that youth is still his.
Very important, I suppose.
Oh, very, very. Because without her, he might be inclined to go out in search of his youth. That's just as important to him as it is to any woman. But with a girl of his own, full of warmth for him, full of foolish, unquestioning, uncritical affection.
None of which I've got.
None? You have a good mind, a pretty face, a disciplined body that does what you tell it. You have everything it takes to make a lovely woman except the one essential, an understanding heart. And without that, you might just as well be made of bronze.
That's an awful thing to say to anyone.
Yes, it is indeed.
So I'm to blame for Tina Mara, am I?
To a certain extent, I expect you are.
You coward.
No. But better that than a prig or a perennial spinster, however many marriages.
Seth, that's too much.
I'm afraid it's not enough, Margaret. I'm afraid nothing is.
What did you say I was?
Do you want me to repeat it?
Her eyes cloud with tears.
A prig and a... You mean you think I'm some kind of a goddess or something?
If your ego wants it that way, yes. Also, you've been talking like a jealous woman.
As Seth escorts his wife inside, Tracy grips the back of a chair.
What's the matter with everyone all at once, anyhow?
Inside, Willie saunters to a service cart.
I've been asleep. What time is it?
After 7.
What? Okay, call my house, will you? Tell them I'm on my way. You better come along, too. After all, you're the host tonight, you know. Uncle Willie.
That's all over. You're yourself again. So am I.
Have you told him?
I shall at the first opportunity.
Dinah wears a ruffly dress.
My first party and about time. Can I have a cocktail?
Certainly not.
It's a dirty jip.
I think that dress hikes up a little behind.
No, it's me that does.
You look adorable, Dinah.
Oh, thanks, Tracy. Thanks ever so much.
Tracy, you must dress.
Let's all have a last drink. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. You never drink.
Prigs don't.
What's that?
Noah, spinsters.
Again, please?
No, a goddesses of any variety.
Not completely, just a borderline case.
Mr. and Mrs. Lord, Miss Embry and I have something on our mind.
Splendid, just the place for it. What?
Well, we'd like to say something.
I'm all ears and eyes.
He leers at Liz.
You're a vision of loveliness, Miss Embry. Will you have cocktail or champagne?
Oh, champagne. I've never had enough.
You will tonight.
Behind her, he glances at her backside.
I'd like to say...
No, I have something to say first. I am Seth Lord.
No. Then that makes you...
Available. And you are Miss Embry of Spy Magazine.
Well, now you know.
I was going to tell you...
Now, as to the reasons...
Not now, Seth. We really ought to be early.
And who'll go with me in my little car?
Dinah and I. Seth, will you take Miss Embry and Mr. O'Connor? Dinah?
I can tell there's something in the air because I'm being taken away.
Willie sneaks behind Liz and Mike.
Well, I'll see you all later.
Liz jumps.
Don't do that. What's the matter?
Nothing.
Miss Embry?
Seth offers his arm and she takes it.
You know, I felt exactly as though I'd been pinched.
Well, don't you think you weren't?
He walks her inside while Mike stays behind with Tracy.
You aren't even dressed.
You go ahead. I'll, follow along with George.
What's the matter with Tracy?
You tell me, will you?
Darned if I know. I'd like to.
Well, Macaulay, if you ever happen to find out...
I'll tell you. Sure.
And remember, Mike, with the rich and mighty...
Always a little patient.
Nodding, she struggles to hold a tight-lipped smile. As Mike leaves the patio, Tracy's lips begin to tremble. Her mouth tugs into a frown, and she gulps down a glass of champagne. Bracing one arm on the tabletop, she tosses back another glass. Then a third. That night, at Uncle Willie's home, tall French doors stand open, leading to a terrace. Wedding guests sit at cocktail tables outdoors, while inside a grand ballroom, couples dance. Tracy wears a floor-length gown with a sparkling sequined belt and sleeves. She draws George away from the crowded dance floor, and they resume their waltz outside.
Do you know what time it is? It's after four.
In China, it's later than that. In China, we'd be married by now.
She tilts up her face.
Or perhaps it's only yesterday.
I'm going home after this dance.
There was a Chinese poet who was drowned while trying to kiss the moon in the river. He was drunk.
I'd say as much.
But he wrote beautiful poetry.
Mike saunters onto the patio wearing a tipsy grin. He holds out a hand to a waiter passing with a tray of champagne, but the waiter moves on without stopping. Noticing Tracy and George, Mike claps his hands together.
Macaulay Connor of South Bend reporting for duty. I'm sorry, Connor. We're going home after this dance.
Oh, now, you can't do that to me. Not a friend of old Junior's. I mean, not a old friend of Junior's.
I wish old Junior's were here.
Tracy, I'll get your wraps.
He'll wrap me up.
Hello, you.
Hello.
Hey, you look fine.
I feel fine.
Good.
They dance a turn.
Oi. What was I saying? Oh, let's have another drink. Or would Kittredge spank?
That's not what you were saying.
It isn't. All right.
Holding her close, he spins her.
Oh, I know. Why do you wish your brother was here? Does he like Kittredge?
Everybody likes Kittredge.
Everybody likes Kittredge. Everybody except C.K. Dexter Haven, huh?
Tracy's grin fades.
Come on, Connor. We'll have some wine.
They link arms as Margaret returns.
Mother! I thought you'd gone home ages ago.
I know I should have, but I've been having such a good time.
Everybody should have a good time.
Darling, what's come over you?
Oh, it's just that a lot of things I always thought were terribly important, I find now, and the other way around, and, oh, what the dickens. Connor, you're thirsty, and the night is young.
Here we are, dear.
We're going to have just one more drink before we go.
Not you, I'm afraid, dear.
Why should you be afraid, George? You know wine never affects me, not in the slightest.
Now, look here,
what she really wants, George, is another dance with you.
Oh, very well.
Well, look, George, if it's that much of a chore,
not
just...
for me! Oh, no, you don't, Connie. You've been too attentive as it is.
George, please. What will the neighbors think?
She pecks the air near George's cheek. Margaret grins at Mike.
Because of true love.
Yeah, there's no moss.
With a curious stare, Margaret bustles away. At a bar, Mike leans over some society ladies and holds up a finger to the bartender.
Boy, champagne. Just the bottle. I'm going on a picnic.
He carries the bottle past Liz and Willie.
You're leaving us, Jock?
Rather, but I'll be back.
Go on, darling. Champagne, and again, and again, and again.
In the driveway, Mike spots a chauffeur asleep in his car and cups two fingers to his lips.
Follow that cab.
What cab, sir?
No cab. Some joke, huh? Take me to the C.K. Dexter Haven mansion.
Mr. Haven?
Front entrance.
Mike crawls into the limo's back seat and pours some champagne. Later, at Dexter's house, he leans out the car window.
Mr. Haven! Oh, C.K. Dexter Haven! C.K. Dexter Haven! Well, this is where Cinderella gets off. Now, you hurry back to the ball before you turn into a pumpkin and six white mice. Goodbye. C.K. Dexter Haven. Oh, C.K. Dexter Haven!
What's up?
You are.
I only hope it's worth it. Come on in.
I bring you greetings. Cinderella's slipper. Mm-hmm. It's called champagne. Champagne is a great leveler. It makes you my equal.
Well, I wouldn't quite say that.
Well, almost my equal. C.K. Dexter Haven, I would like to talk to you.
Well, let's go in the talking room.
Dexter, in his pajamas and robe, takes the champagne from Mike.
Don't tell me the party's over so soon.
No. No, I just felt like talking to you.
Oh, that's nice.
As Dexter puts down the bottle, Mike circles him with a cockeyed smile. He finds the champagne.
Oh, I wonder if I might borrow a drink.
Certainly. Coles to Newcastle.
He nudges Mike toward a sofa, then sits on an ottoman beside him. The lanky writer's knees bend in sharp angles as he plops onto the low cushions. Dexter smirks as Mike drinks from the stack of cups.
Excuse me.
Dexter's smirk breaks into a grin as he watches Mike attempt to hold himself steady. Mike glances to his right and looks twice at Dexter's bookshelf.
What's this?
What's it, my book?
Yes.
Sick here, Dexter Haven. You have unsuspected depth.
Oh, thanks, old chap.
But have you read it?
Well, I was trying to stop drinking. I read anything.
And did you stop drinking?
Yes. Your book didn't do it, though.
Mike cuts him a sly glance, then suddenly points.
Are you still in love with her? Or perhaps you consider that a very personal question.
Not at all.
Liz thinks you are. Liz thinks you are. But of course, women like to romanticize about things.
Yes, they do, don't they?
Yes, they do, don't they? I don't know. I can't understand how you can have been married to her and still know so little about her.
Can't you?
No, I can't you. I have the hiccups. I wonder if I might have another drink.
Certainly.
Thank you.
As Mike pours a bit into the cup, Dexter patiently folds his hands together under the coffee table.
You know, Tracy's no ordinary woman. And you said some things to her this afternoon I resented.
Well, I apologize, Mr. Connor.
That's quite all right, quite all right. But when a girl is like Tracy, she's one in a million. She's sort of like a...
A goddess?
No. You said that word this afternoon. No. No, she's sort of like a queen. A radiant, glorious queen. And you can't treat her like other women.
No, I suppose not. But then I imagine Kittredge appreciates all that.
Kittredge! Kittredge appreciates Kittredge. Ah, that fake man of the people. He isn't even smart. He's a 5-cent edition of Sidney Kidd.
Well, I always thought Kidd himself was the 5-cent kid.
And what's that make you worth, C.K. Dexter Haven? Bringing us down here.
But you know why I did that, to get even with my ex-bride. You told me so yourself.
Doggone it, C.K. Dexter Haven. Neither I'm gonna sock you or you're gonna sock me.
Shall we toss a coin?
Mike paces the floor.
You know, Kid's just using you like he uses everybody else. Man, you don't know Kid like I know him. The guy's colossal. He's terrific. Got everybody fooled.
Yeah. No mean Machiavelli, a smiling, cynical Sidney Kidd. The world's his oyster with an iron every month.
Yeah, that's not bad. When did I say that?
You didn't. I did. Sorry.
I suppose you never heard about Kidd's little arrangement in Kansas City?
No.
In San Francisco. Let me tell you about the time he went to Boston to be awarded the Sarah Langley Medal for World Peace. The true story on that little jaunt had ruined him.
Dexter's eyes widen. He cocks his head and follows Mike to a chair.
Look, Connor.
Hmm?
What would happen to you if I used this stuff?
Why?
Well, I might want to, very much. You see, Kidd is holding a dirty piece on Tracy's father. This might stop him.
On Tracy's father?
That's right.
Oh. Oh, so that's how Kidd got you to... Mm-hmm. That's how Liz and I were gotten in. Blackmail, huh? We all rode into this thing on a filthy blackmail. Well, look. You use it. Use it with my blessings. I'm cooked. I'm through anyway. I'm not going to hand in a story on this wedding. I'm going to write one on Kidd.
No. Let me do it. I don't have to tell him where I got my facts. Okay?
Okay.
Dexter all drags right. Mike to a desk where he grabs some paper and a pencil.
Shoot. Peace medal. Boston.
The time. May 1938. The place. Boston. A hotel. Kidd had just arrived.
Later.
This same Sidney Kidd, ladies and gentlemen of America, this protector of American democracy and homes and firesides, was at that very moment entertaining this South Carolina Matahari on his yacht. Don't interrupt me. This Sidney Kidd, ladies and gentlemen.
Dexter opens the door to Liz, who leans wearily on the outside wall.
We've come for the body of Macaulay Connor.
I'm so glad you came. Can you use a typewriter?
Oh, thanks. I have one at home.
He squints past her to the driveway.
Who's that?
Tracy lies asleep in the car, her arms folded across her chest.
Where's Kittredge?
The people's choice?
Yeah.
His bride just dropped him at the gatehouse after a slight explosion.
What, a fight?
15 rounds, no decision. Where's my wandering parakeet?
Dexter steps carefully to the convertible where Tracy lies curled up in the front seat. Her dark hair falls over one pale cheek. Her wide mouth hangs slightly open. Dexter clutches his robe about his neck, slips in beside her, then lays his face nose to nose next to hers.
You look beautiful, Red.
Her eyes slide open, then focus on him. She eases back sleepily.
Come on in.
She draws her face away from his.
Why?
No particular reason. A drink, maybe?
She weakly shakes her head.
I don't drink.
That's right, I forgot.
She shakes her head again.
I haven't.
Leaning her neck against the seat, she stares ahead. Mike drags Liz outside.
Show Liz to a typewriter and stand back.
Can she do it?
She can and she will. And you dictate to her and then bring her home.
Mm. Aren't you coming, Liz?
Well, it seems I've got to commit suicide first.
Going my way, miss?
Miss Goddess to you.
Okay, Miss Goddess to me.
He opens the door and stands in the back seat, falling backward as Tracy drives them away. Later, a new bottle of champagne and two glasses sit beside a portable radio. On the curb of a garden pond, Mike and Tracy dance together. She rests her head on his shoulder, and their tall, slender figures move gracefully by the water's edge. They promenade back to the radio, both of them swaying off balance on the curving curb.
Champagne's funny stuff. I'm used to whiskey. Whiskey's a slap on the back, and champagne's heavy mist before my eyes.
Do you hear a telephone ringing?
I did a little while ago. Let's see.
He takes a sip.
What's that?
Another sip.
No, I do. Far away.
Tracy glances at the house, then into her glass.
It's my bedroom telephone. Couldn't be anyone but you, would you? I was sort of swinish to it. Perhaps I'd better go and see what...
Hopping off the curb, she glides to the house, holding her glass over her head.
It isn't ringing anymore. I tell you what, let's have a quick swim to brighten us up. Dexter and I always swam after parties.
Well, let's dip into this instead, huh?
Removing a bracelet and ring, she sets them by the radio.
Hello, you.
Hello.
You look fine.
I feel fine.
Did you enjoy the party?
Sure. The prettiest sight in this fine, pretty world is the privileged class enjoying its privileges.
You're a snob, Connor.
No doubt.
He stretches out in a wicker chaise and toasts with his glass. Tracy pushes the wheeled chaise in circles.
On the nuptial eve of Tracy Samantha... Tracy, you can't marry that guy.
George, I'm going to. Why not?
Well, I don't know. I thought I'd be for it at first, but you just don't seem to match up.
Then the fault's with me.
Well, maybe so, but all the same, now you can't do it.
No?
No.
Come around about noon tomorrow. I mean today.
She stares into his eyes.
Snob.
Say, what do you mean, snob?
You're the worst kind there is, an intellectual snob. You made up your mind awfully young, it seems to me.
Well, 30's about time to make up your mind. And I'm nothing of the sort, not Mr. Connor.
The time to make up your mind about people is never. Yes, you are. And a complete one.
You're quite a girl, aren't you?
You think?
Yeah, I know.
Thank you, Professor. I don't think I'm exceptional.
You are, then.
I know any number like me. You ought to get around more.
She smiles seductively.
Well, in the upper class? No, thank you.
You're just a mass of prejudices, aren't you? You're so much thought and so little feeling, Professor.
Oh, I am I?
Yes, you am, are you? Your intolerance infuriates me. I should think that of all people, a writer would need tolerance. The fact is, you can't be a first-rate writer or a first-rate human being until you've learned to have some small regard for human...
Her clenched fist relaxes. and she lowers her eyes.
Aren't the geraniums pretty, Professor?
She steps coyly away.
Is it not a handsome day that begins, Professor?
All right, lay off that professor.
Yes, Professor.
Now you've got all the arrogance of your class, all right, haven't you?
Oh, what have classes to do with it? What do they matter except for the people in them? George comes from the so-called lower class. Dexter from the upper. Well?
Well?
Mac the Night Watchman is a prince among men. Uncle Willie is a pincher. Upper and lower, my eye. I'll take the lower, thanks.
If you can't get a drawing room.
What do you mean by that?
My mistake.
Decidedly, you're insulting.
I'm sorry.
Oh, don't apologize.
Well, who's apologizing?
I never knew such a man.
You wouldn't be likely to, dear, not from where you sit.
Talk about arrogance.
Tracy.
What do you want?
You're wonderful. There's a magnificence in you, Tracy.
Bashfully, she looks into her glass.
Now, I'm getting self-conscious. It's funny, I... Mike, that's...
Yeah?
I don't know. Go up, I guess. It's late.
A magnificence that comes out of your eyes and your voice and the way you stand there and the way you walk. You're lit from within, Tracy. You've got fires banked down in you. Hearth fires and holocausts.
Tears fill her eyes. She turns to him.
I don't seem to be made of bronze.
No, you're made out of flesh and blood. That's the blank, unholy surprise of it. Oh, you're the golden girl, Tracy. Full of life and warmth and delight.
He clutches her to him.
What goes on? You got tears in your eyes.
Shut up, shut up. Oh, Mike, keep talking, talk, will you?
His trembling hands release her.
No, no, I've stopped.
Why? Has your mind taken hold again, dear Professor?
Well, good thing, don't you? Don't you agree?
No, Professor.
All right, lay off that professor stuff now. Do you hear me?
Yes, Professor.
Leaning on a column, she turns her back to him.
It's really all I am to you, is it?
Of course, Professor.
Are you sure?
Why, yes. Yes, of course.
He grabs her and kisses her forcefully.
Golly.
Catching her breath, she kisses him, wrapping her arms around his neck as he caresses her back.
Golly, Moses.
Oh, Tracy.
Mr. Connor, Mr. Connor.
Let me tell you something,
No, don't.
Tracy.
All of a sudden I've got the shakes.
It can't be anything like love, can it?
No, no, it mustn't be. It can't.
Would it be inconvenient?
Terribly. Anyway, I know it isn't. Oh, Mike, we're out of our minds.
Well, right into our hearts.
I know that music.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Tracy,
oh,
you're so
as if my insteps were melting away. What is it? Have I got feet of clay or something?
Tracy.
It's not part of the pool. It's just over the lawn and in the birch grove. It'll be lovely now.
Tracy, you're tremendous.
Put me in your pocket, Mike.
Linking arms, they race up the terrace steps toward the pool. Now, Dexter parks a coupe at the Lord's mansion. Liz wakes up on the seat beside him.
Oh, I can't imagine what makes me so sleepy.
Couldn't be the company, could it?
Well, well, it's you, Mr. Dexter.
Hello, Mac.
I have you about.
Any prowlers around?
No, no, no prowlers.
Can Miss Embry get in this way?
Well, if she can't, you can always win the back.
Liz squints and licks her dry mouth as she wobbles in.
Thanks, Mac. Good night.
Good night, sir.
Well, home after a hard day's blackmailing. When are you going to telephone Kid?
Time to get him here for the wedding.
Why?
Sort of wedding present. If it works.
The expose.
If it works.
I can still tear it up.
No. Mike's only chance to ever become a really fine writer is to get fired.
You're a good number, Liz.
Oh, I just photograph well. I'm certainly out of focus now.
Why don't you take a swim?
A swim?
Sure. Tracy and I always took a swim after a party.
Did you?
Bet it was fun. I'll have to try it with Mike sometime.
Liz, why don't you marry him?
You really want to know? Mm-hmm. He's still got a lot to learn. I don't want to get in his way for a while. Okay.
Suppose another girl came along in the meantime.
Scratch your eyes out, I guess. That is, unless she was going to marry somebody else the next day.
She trudges up the stairs, carrying her high heels and holding up the hem of her coat. Dexter wanders into the gallery and notices George outside, still in his tuxedo, approaching the pond. Dexter peeks out.
Hey!
Dexter flinches and ducks back in, but George charges forward.
Hello, Kittredge.
What are you doing here?
Oh, I'm a friend of the family's. Just dropped in for a chat.
Now, don't try to be funny. I ask you a question.
I could ask you the same question.
Well, I telephoned Tracy and her phone didn't answer. I was worried, so I walked over from the gatehouse.
I was worried, too.
About what?
What do you think of this fellow Connor? Or do you?
Listen, if you're trying to insinuate...
My dear chap, I wouldn't insinuate anything, only...
He sees a patio table where Tracy's diamond bracelet and ring sit beside the two champagne glasses and portable radio.
Kittredge, I'd advise you to go to bed.
No, I don't want your advice. I'm staying right here.
All right, you're making a mistake. Somehow I don't think you'll understand.
Maybe you better leave that to...
Really do come true.
Dexter swipes the jewelry before George sees it.
What's that?
Oh, it's Mac, the night watchman. Always singing, Mac is. Come on, I'll walk you around the house. Tell you all about it.
Something's going on here, and I'm staying. And so are you.
All right, then. Take the works. Only heaven help you.
Somewhere over the rainbow.
Mike appears through the garden, carrying Tracy cradled in his arms. They both wear robes. She swings her bare legs freely in the air. Tracy's wet hair is pinned up off her neck. Mike carries her gown draped over his arm.
And the dreams that I dare to...
Don't stop, Mikey. Keep crooning.
Tracy's head lolls on Mike's shoulder, her eyes closed as Mike carries her to her fiancé.
Over the rainbow, way up high.
What is this, Connor? No, easy, old man. She's not hurt?
No.
Not wounded, sir, but dead.
Seems the minute she hit the water, the wine hit her.
Now, look here, Connor.
A likely story, Connor.
What'd you say?
I said a likely story.
Now, listen, if you
You'll
think
You'll be
that...
down directly?
Yes, if you want.
I want.
Hello, Dexter. Hello, George. Hello, Mike.
She brushes her cheek past his and hugs him tighter. Dexter smirks as Tracy's bare toes curl around each other.
Second door to the right, top of the stairs. Mind you don't wake Dinah.
5 feet are made of clay, did you know? Good night, little man.
Dexter's eyes dart with delight and he grins.
How are the mighty fallen?
George restlessly chews on his thumbnail.
But if I know Tracy and I know her well... She'll remember a little of this. For the second time in her life, she'll draw quite a tidy blank.
Oh.
Dexter frowns over George's shoulder.
You don't believe it, then?
Believe what?
Well, the implications of what you saw, let us say.
Yeah, what else am I to believe?
That's entirely up to you.
I got eyes. I got imagination, haven't I?
I don't know, have you?
Oh, so you pretend not to believe it?
Yes, I pretend not to.
And you don't know women.
That's possible.
And you're a fool.
Well, that's quite possible. Well, you won't be too hard on her, will you?
I'll make up my own mind what I'll be.
Well, we're all only human, you know.
You, all of you, with your sophisticated ideas.
Ain't it awful?
Mike swaggers back through the gallery, carrying his tuxedo pants and shirt.
Well? Why, you...
Dexter pushes in and socks Mike to the floor.
Say, listen, what right have you...
A husband. Still tomorrow, Kittredge.
George rolls his shoulders and leaves. Dexter squats beside Mike.
Oi.
Oi, fella.
How do you feel?
Now, look, if you think I...
I know. I'm sorry. But I thought I'd better hit you before he did. He's in better shape than I am.
Well, you'll do.
Mac, the night watchman, runs over.
Hello, Mr. Dexter. Anything wrong?
Not a thing, Mac. Just as quiet as a church.
Who is it?
Still on the ground, Mike takes his hands from his face.
Doggone. I thought it might have been Mr. Kittredge.
Well, we can't have everything, Mac.
Good night.
Upstairs, Dinah watches from a window overlooking the garden arbor and smiles. Later that morning, Uncle Willie makes his way down a wide staircase. Wearing striped pants and a cutaway coat, he moves slowly, gripping the banister. He puffs out his cheeks and blinks his droopy eyes as he reaches the bottom of the stairs. A servant approaches with a silk top hat.
Mr. Tracy.
Good grief, man. Don't scream at me the top of your voice like that.
Miss Dinah. He's waiting for you, sir.
Miss Dinah waiting for me? Where and why?
Just outside the door, sir. I don't know why.
Oh, this is one of those days which the pages of history teach us are best spent lying in bed.
In Willie's front drive, Dinah waits in a two-wheeled cart hitched to a shaggy-maned pony.
Uncle Willie! Uncle Willie, where are you going?
Back to bed, unless you give me your oath, you'll speak in a civilized tone of voice.
I'll be quiet, Uncle Willie. It's so important that I see you.
Well, must we ride in that thing? Wouldn't we be more comfortable on pogo sticks?
I had to be alone with you, and this is very intimate.
She flicks a long switch over the pony's back, and they lurch forward. The cart's wooden wheels roll over pits in a dirt path.
Oh!
What's the matter?
Oh, nothing much. My head just fell off, that's all.
Later at the Lord's mansion.
What is all this gibberish about Mr. Connor? What makes you suspect what and since when?
Last night and well into the morning. Uncle Willie, isn't my duty to tell George?
He might want to marry her anyway.
But she can't. If she marries anyone, it's just got to be Mr. Connor.
Why, Dinah, what makes you think she should?
Apparently the little cherub has heard or seen something.
That's Dexter's own Dinah.
I must say, you have a certain amount of cheek walking in here on this of all mornings.
Do I?
Yes.
What's all this about Mr. Connor, Dinah? What's the matter? Did the party last night give you bad dreams?
It wasn't any dream.
Oh, I wouldn't be too sure. It's pretty hard to tell once you've gone to sleep, isn't it?
Is it?
He sees Dinah's window overhead.
What ho, the bride!
Tracy steps outside, then cringes in the sun.
Tracy! Hello. Isn't it a fine day, though?
She gropes for a wicker sofa.
Is everybody fine? That's fine.
Teetering, she sits.
Hi, I'm Hardy.
Well, how do you feel otherwise?
Well, I don't know what's the matter with me. I must have had too much sun yesterday. My eyes don't open properly.
Really?
Oh, please go home, Dexter.
Not until we've got those eyes open.
Uncle Willie, good morning.
That remains to be seen.
Aren't you here early, Uncle Willie? It's nearly 12:30.
Well, it can't be. Where's Mother?
She's talking with the orchestra, Father with the minister. And Mr. Connor, he hasn't come down yet.
It's Saturday, your wedding day, remember?
Thanks loads. It's nice to have things account. Only I wonder what this might be.
It looks terribly like a wristwatch.
But who was I? I found it in my room. I nearly stepped on it.
Dinah presses her lips tightly.
Also, I think I was robbed at your house last night, Uncle Willie. My bracelet and engagement rings
are missing. Here you are.
But you weren't at the party.
Wasn't I?
Were you?
Oh, now, don't tell me you don't remember.
I do, now. Sort of. But there were such a lot of people, I stayed so late.
Oh, you should have taken a quick swim when you got home.
A swim? A swim.
There, now they're open.
That was just the beginning. And it was no dream.
Tracy fingers her bracelet.
You suppose, sir, speaking of eye-openers...
Oh, that's the first sane remark I've heard today. Come along, Dexter. I know a formula that is said to pop the pennies off the eyelids of dead Irishmen.
Oh, Dinah, if the conversation should lag, you might tell Tracy about your dream.
What did he say?
Oh, nothing. Trey, I hate you to get married and go away.
I'll miss you, darling. I'll miss all of you.
You know, I did have the funniest dream about you last night.
Did you?
Do you like my dress, Dinah?
Yes, ever so much.
Feels awfully heavy.
It was all certainly pretty rooty-tooty.
What was?
My dream.
Oh, Dinah.
I dreamed I got up and went over to the window. Guess what I dreamed I saw coming over out of the woods.
I haven't the faintest idea. A skunk.
Well, sort of. It was Mr. Connor.
Mr. Connor?
Yes, with his both arms full of something. And guess what it turned out to be?
What?
You. And some clothes. Wasn't it funny? It was sort of like as if you were coming from the pool.
The pool? I'm going crazy. I'm standing here solidly on my own two hands and going crazy.
Then what?
And after a while, I opened my door a crack, and there he was in the hall, still coming along with you, puffing like a steam engine. His wind can't be very good.
Then what?
And you were sort of crooning.
I never crooned in my life.
I'm only saying what it sounded like. And then he... Guess what?
I couldn't possibly...
Then he just sailed right into your room with you. And that scared me, so I got up and went to your door and peeked in to make sure you were all right. And guess what?
What?
You were. He was gone by then.
Gone? Of course he was gone. He was never there.
I know, Tracy.
Well, I should certainly hope you did.
I'm certainly glad I do. Because if I didn't, and in a little while I heard the minister say, if anyone knows any just cause or reason why these two should not be united in holy matrimony, I just wouldn't know what to do. But Dexter says it's a dream, too.
Dex, you told Dexter all that.
Not a word. Not a single word. You know how quick he is.
Dinah, Lord, you little fiend, how can you stand there and say...
Your mother wants to have a look at you.
I look wonderful. Yes. I smell good, too.
Father.
Yes, Tracy?
I'm glad you came back. I'm glad you're here.
Why, thank you, child.
I'm sorry. I'm truly sorry I'm a disappointment to you.
I never said that, daughter. I never will.
Seth squeezes Tracy's shoulders, then leaves. Mike appears in a suit and tie and leans through the doorway.
Good morning.
Oh, hello. Yes.
I'm testing the air. I like it, but it doesn't like me. Ah, hello, Donna.
How do you do? Did you have a good sleep?
Wonderful, wonderful. And you?
Marvelous. Have you ever seen a handsomer day?
Never, never. What did set you back?
I got it for nothing, for being a good girl.
Good, yeah.
She puts a chair between them. Mike glares at Dinah.
Don't worry, I'm going.
Why should you?
I guess you must have things you wish to discuss. Only remember, it's getting late.
Tracy glances nervously at Mike.
She's always trying to make situations.
As Mike looks her over fondly, Tracy covers her exposed throat with the sheer collar of her chiffon dress.
Well, what's the matter with your chin?
Chin? Yeah. Oh. What, was it showing?
A little. What happened?
I guess I stuck it out too far.
Into a door? In the dark?
Yes, that's it. Well, Tracy, what about you? You all right?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Why shouldn't I be?
Well, that was a flock of wine we got away with.
I guess we're lucky both to have such good heads.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
Well, anyway, I had a simply wonderful evening. I hope you enjoyed it, too.
I enjoyed the last part of it.
Really? Why especially the last?
Well, Tracy, are you asking me?
Oh, you mean the swim. I did swim. And so forth, didn't we? Mike.
Oh, Tracy, darling.
Mike.
What can I say to you? Tell me, darling.
Not anything. Don't say anything, and especially not darling.
She turns away, wringing her hands.
And you're going through with it, huh?
Through with what?
The wedding.
Why shouldn't I?
Well, I made a funny discovery. And in spite of the fact that somebody's up from the bottom, he can still be quite a heel. And even though somebody else is born of the purple, he can still be a very nice guy. Boy, I'm just repeating what you said last night.
I said a lot of things last night, it seems.
Okay. No dice. Also, no regrets about last night, huh?
Why should I have?
Oh, Tracy, you're wonderful.
You don't know what I mean. I'm asking you. Tell me straight out. Tell me the reason why I should have. No, don't. Just tell me what time is it.
He looks at his wrist, then pats his pockets.
What happened to my wristwatch?
Why is it broken?
It must have lost it someplace.
I can't tell you how extremely sorry I am to hear that. There, on the table.
Hmm. I wonder who found it. I offer a reward or something.
I don't think that any reward will be expected.
Funny to pop up here, isn't it? Hey, what about an eye opener?
My eyes are opened. You go ahead and get one if you want to, though.
Yeah, I think
inside, Margaret talks on the phone.
Yes, yes. No, just give Mr. Kittredge a message. Tell him he better start immediately. Thank you. Are you one of the musicians?
Uh-huh. No.
Oh, of course, you're Junius's friend.
No,
only you're not. You don't have any violin strings, do you?
Mike checks his pants, then his jacket.
Aspirin, would that do?
I don't think so. It's for a violin. Oh, well, don't bother.
Mike reaches out for balance and leans on a globe, which spins under his hand. Dexter enters.
Oh, hello, Connie. How are you?
Well, just about as you'd think. You seen Kid?
No, I left a copy of it at my house for him, though.
Yeah?
Well, I'll have it out with him after the wedding.
Is that an alcoholic beverage?
Yes, why?
For me?
No, it's for Tracy. Why, do you want one?
Listen, I'd sell my grandmother for a drink. You know I love my grandmother.
Well, Uncle Willie's around at the pantry doing weird and wonderful things. Tell him I said one of the same.
Mm. Mind if I make it two?
That's between you and your grandmother.
Dexter carries the tall glass of dark liquid out to the garden. Tracy sits at a round table, surrounded by other tables and chairs, all decorated with white candles and flower centerpieces. Dexter sits on the curb of the pond and puts the glass in her hands.
Doctor's orders, Red.
What is it?
Just the juice of a few flowers. It's a type of stinger. Removes the sting.
Oh, Dex, don't say that.
Well, why not, Red?
Nothing will, nothing ever can. Oh, Dexter. I've done the most terrible thing to you.
To me? Oh, I doubt that. I doubt it very much, dear.
You don't know. You don't know.
Well, maybe I shouldn't, huh?
But you must. You got to. I couldn't stand it if you didn't. Dexter, what am I going to do?
But why to me, darling? Why ask me? Why do I come into it anymore? Aren't you confusing me with someone else, a fellow named Kittredge or something?
George.
George. Splendid chap, George. Very high morals. Very broad shoulders.
I've got to tell him.
Tell him what, darling?
I've got to tell him.
She rushes to an intercom phone.
Tell him we've got to tell him. If he's got any brains at all, he'll have realized by now what a fool he made of himself.
How? Hello, George. This is... Yeah. Look, George, I don't care whether it's bad luck or not, but I've got to see you for a minute before the wedding. What? No, I didn't get it. Right. Come on the run. He sent a note over at 10 o'clock.
Good. I told you he'd come to his senses.
Was he here, too?
Sure.
Good golly, why didn't you sell tickets?
Shaking off Dexter, Tracy walks to the head table on the patio. He follows her with a stinger drink and leans his elbows on a high-backed chair as Tracy dabs her cheeks with a napkin.
Say something, Dexter. Say anything.
No, you do.
Oh, Dexter. I'm such an unholy mess of a girl.
Well, that's no good. That's not even conversation.
But never in my life. Not if I live to be 100 will I ever forget how you tried to stand me on my feet again today.
Oh, you? You're in great shape. Tell me, what did you think of my wedding present? I like my presents at least acknowledged, you know.
It was beautiful. And sweet, Dex.
Yes, yeah. She was quite a boat, the true love, wasn't she?
Was and is.
My, she was yar.
She was yar, all right. I wasn't, was I?
Not very. Oh, you were good at the bright work, though.
I made her shine. Where is she now?
I'm going to sell it to Ruth Watrous.
You're going to sell the true love?
Mm-hmm.
For money?
Sure.
To that flat old rumpot?
Oh, well, what's it matter? When you're through with a boat, you're through. Besides, it was only comfortable for two people. Unless you want her.
No. No, I don't want her.
Well, I'm designing another one anyway. Along more practical lines.
What'll you call her?
I thought the true love second. What do you think?
Dexter, if you call any boat that, I promise you I'll blow you and it out of the water. I'll tell you what you can call her if you like.
What?
In fond remembrance of me. The easy virtue.
Now, shut up, Red. I can't have you thinking things like that about yourself.
Well, what am I supposed to think when I... Oh, I don't know. I don't know anything anymore.
Oh, that sounds very hopeful, Red. That sounds just fine.
Tracy, we're almost ready. Stand up, dear. Turn around. Oh, yes, it's lovely. I'm glad we decided against it. Dexter, you shouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. Against the blue one, dear. Now, no games, Dexter. George will be right over. I just telephoned. Here's a note he sent you this morning. Oh, dear, doesn't everything look lovely? Dr. Parsons.
Tracy?
Oh, Mr. Kittredge hasn't arrived yet, Dr. Parsons. Come along, I want you to meet Tracy's grandmother. Oh, Tracy, don't sit down again until after the ceremony. Oh, by the way, Dexter, they telephoned from your house that a Mr. Sidney Kidd was there. I was to tell you that he's reading it. Whatever on earth does that mean?
Mike with Liz.
Well, I have a feeling it won't be so hard for me to resign now.
And belts will be worn tighter this winter.
Well, Red,
I'm afraid it's the deadline.
So is this. Listen. My dear Tracy, I want you to know that you will always be my friend, but your conduct last night was so shocking to my ideals of womanhood that... Now, don't go. You might as well hear it, too. To my ideals of womanhood, that my attitude toward you and the prospect of a happy and useful life together has been changed materially. Your breach of common decency...
Tracy.
Hello, George.
Tracy, all these people.
It's only a letter from a friend. They're my friends, too. Certainly entitles me to a full explanation before going through with our proposed marriage. In the light of day, I am sure that you will agree with me. Otherwise, with profound regrets and all best wishes, yours very sincere... Yes, George, I quite agree with you. In the light of day and the dark of night, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, and thank you so very much for your good wishes at this time.
That's all you have to say?
What else? I wish for your sake as well as mine I had an explanation, but unfortunately I've none. You better just say good riddance, George.
It isn't easy, you know.
I don't see why.
Say something stupid.
Just wait a minute.
What for?
On the very eve of your wedding, an affair with another man.
I told you I agreed, George, and I tell you again, good riddance to me.
Tracy, your attitude is a little difficult to understand.
Yes, I can see that it would be.
Not necessarily. You keep out of this. You forget I am out of it.
Kittredge, it may interest you to know that this so-called affair consists of exactly two kisses and a rather late swim.
Thanks, Mike, but there's no
all
need
of which I thoroughly enjoyed and the memory of which I wouldn't part with for anything.
No use, Mike.
After which I deposited Tracy on her bed in her room and promptly returned down here to you two, which doubtless you'll remember.
Doubtless, without a doubt.
You mean to say that was all there was to it?
I do.
Tracy glares at Mike.
Why was I so unattractive, so distant, so forbidding, or something?
Well, this
that
is
you...
fine talk, too.
I'm asking a question.
You were extremely attractive, and as for distant and forbidding, on the contrary, but you also were a little the worse or better for wine, and there are rules about that.
Thank you, Mike. I think men are wonderful.
The little dears.
I fail to see the humor in this situation, Miss Embry.
I can appreciate that. It was hard for me, too, at first.
Oh, Liz, I...
Oh, it's all right, Tracy. We all go haywire at times, and if we don't, maybe we ought to.
Liz,
You see, it really wasn't Tracy at all, Mr. Kittredge. It was another girl, a Miss Pomeroy, 1926.
You'd had too much to drink, Tracy.
That seems to be the consensus of opinion.
Will you promise me never to touch the stuff again?
No, George. I don't believe I will. There are certain things about that other girl, that Miss Pomeroy 26, I rather like.
But a man expects his wife to...
To behave herself naturally.
To behave herself naturally. Sorry.
But if it hadn't been for that drink last night, all this might not have happened.
Apparently nothing did. What made you think it had?
Well, it didn't take much imagination.
Not much, perhaps, but just of a certain kind.
It seems you didn't think anything too well of yourself.
That's the odd thing, George. Somehow I'd have hoped that you'd think better of me than I did.
I'm not going to quibble, Tracy. All the evidence was there.
And I was guilty, straight off. That is, until I was proved innocent.
You're downright un-American, if you ask me.
Nobody is asking you.
You forgot your hat, Miss Tracy.
Oh.
You look lovely, Miss Tracy. All our very best wishes.
Dexter, I do wish you'd let me know when you invite people to Tracy's weddings.
Why, what happened, darling?
Mr. Sidney Kidd is here. He says he knows you.
Sidney Kidd is here himself?
What else did Mr. Sidney Kidd have to say?
Oh, he sent you the strangest message. He said, tell Haven he wins. Tell him I'm licked. Wins what, Dexter?
Well, it's...
Margaret hurries away.
Mr. Sidney Kidd's presence here makes the marriage of national importance.
Well, I think it's extremely kind and thoughtful of him.
Beaming, George turns to Tracy.
Come on, Tracy, it must be late. Let's let bygones be bygones. What do you say?
Yes, and goodbye, George.
I don't understand you.
Please, goodbye.
But look here, Tracy.
You're too good for me, George. You're 100 times too good.
I never said
And I'd make you most unhappy, most. That is, I'd do my best to.
Well, if that's the way you want it.
That's the way it is.
All right. Possibly it's just as well.
Yes, I thought you'd finally come to that conclusion.
I have a feeling you had more to do with this than anyone.
Possibly, but you were a great help.
You and your whole rotten class.
Oh, class, my eye.
You're on your way out, the lot of you. And good riddance.
There goes George.
Dexter plays the candles like handbells.
Oh, my sainted aunt.
They all rush into the parlor. Tracy signals the others for quiet. Peeking through a door, she finds the adjoining room crowded with guests in folding chairs.
That welter of faces.
Oh, my, they look solemn.
What in the name of all that's holy am I to do?
Tracy.
Yes, Mike.
Old Parson Parsi, he's never seen Kittredge before, has he? Now, look, I got you into this thing, and I'll get you out of it. Will you marry me, Tracy?
Tracy hesitates and glances down. Dexter takes a long look at Liz.
No, Mike. Thanks, but... Mm-mm. No.
Listen, I've never asked a girl to marry me before in my life. I've avoided it. But you've got me all confused now. Well, why not?
Because I don't think Liz would like it. And I'm not sure you would. And I'm even a little doubtful about myself. But I am beholden to you, Mike. I'm most beholden.
But they're in there. They're waiting.
Don't get too conventional all at once, will you? There'll be a reaction.
Cheer up, Ed. It'll be all right. You've been got out of jams before.
Been got out of them, did you say?
Certainly. Don't worry. You always have been.
Her parents find them.
Tracy.
Mother.
We've seen George. It's all right, dear. Your father make a very simple announcement.
Is there anything special you want me to say, Tracy?
No. I'll say it. Whatever it is, I'll say it. I won't be got out of anything anymore, thanks.
She throws open the door to the guests. She hands Dexter her straw bonnet.
Hello. Good morning. Stop that music. I'm terribly sorry to have kept you waiting, but there's been a slight hitch in the proceedings. I've made a terrible fool of myself, which isn't unusual. And
My fiancé that was, that is, he thinks we better call it a day. And I quite agree with him.
Peace is wonderful.
Dexter, what next?
2 years ago, I did you out of a wedding in this house by eloping to Maryland.
2 years ago?
Dexter takes Margaret's ring.
Yeah, dear. Just the love. Here, put this ring in your vest pocket.
Don't have a plan.
Then hold in your hand. Which was very bad manners. But I hope to make it up to you by going through with it now as originally planned.
But I hope to make it up to you by...
She turns, then takes Dexter's hand.
By going beautifully through with it now, as originally and most beautifully planned.
So if you just keep your seats for a minute. That's all.
That's all. Dexter, are you sure?
Not the least, but I'll risk it, will you?
You bet. You didn't do it just to soften the blow.
No, Tracy.
No, to save my face.
Oh, it's a nice little face.
Oh, Dexter, I'll be yar now. I'll promise to be yar.
Be whatever you like. You're my redhead. Are you all set?
All set.
Best man?
Honored, C.K.
Maid of honor?
Matron of honor. Remember Joe Smith.
Oh, how did this ever happen?
You'd better tell Mr. Dutton to start the music.
Oh, this can't be happening. It just can't. But come with me, Miss Imbray.
Well, come on. Let's get in there, best man. Got the ring? Yeah, the way we're dressed, look like a couple of stowaways. See you soon, Red.
See you soon, Dex.
Bracing his shoulders, Dexter plunges into the crowd.
Tracy, darling.
I love you, Father.
I love you too, Tracy.
Never in my life have I been so full of love before.
Come along.
Wait, how do I look?
Like a queen, like a goddess.
And you know how I feel?
How?
Like a human being.
Do you know how I feel?
How?
Proud.
He kisses her cheek, then steps aside as she exits the parlor. Liz hands her a bouquet, then starts reverently up the aisle. Tracy wears her wide-brimmed hat with the ribbons untied and smiles serenely as she holds her father's arm. The guests stand, watching them proceed up the center aisle. At the altar, Seth Lords steps aside and Dexter takes Tracy's arm. From the front row, Dinah grins.
I did it all.
I feel as though I lived through all this before in another life.
Sydney Kidd has a camera. Dexter and Tracy freeze into a photograph. The photo turns like a page to another snapshot of Dexter kissing the bride. The page turns again, revealing a drawing of a lion and the words, "The End." Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Credits appear. Cary Grant as C.K. Dexter Haven, Katherine Hepburn as Tracy Lord, James Stewart as Macaulay Connor, Ruth Hussey as Elizabeth Imbrie, John Howard as George Kittredge, Roland Young as Uncle Willie, John Halliday as Seth Lord, Mary Nash as Margaret Lord, Virginia Wadler as Dinah Lord.